When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, it's Game Time Decisions. I am Kevin Walsh with you on a national championship Monday. Two number one seeds go head-to-head. UConn trying to go back-to-back against Purdue, trying to become consecutive 2-0. Unbelievable trend. Can't stand it. Teams to lose to a 16 seed and then win the title the year prior. 6.5-point spread. Up to 7 at some spots. That 143.5 over-under has dropped. I was live with Joe Lisi on Bracket Central when the very first lines came out, and it was a 147.5 total. So under money clearly coming in on your national championship game. Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon going head-to-head with all of the other pieces around it. And this game, not without some questions around the coaches. Not if they can get the job done, but if this will be their job within the next 48 hours. That speculation will continue with the Calipari news. We'll get to that in a moment. But I do want to give the people some juice. And usually the quick pick you'll get in about 7 minutes. But first pitch at Yankee Stadium is in less than 5. And I'm going to take Juan Soto for 2+ bases. This is a +145 prop, which I love getting that type of money on Juan Soto. Hasn't homered yet at Yankee Stadium. I think that could be in line today. Going up against Jesus Luzardo. Soto, such a talented hitter that I don't mind the lefty-lefty matchup. Let's get the plus money involved here. And let's get 2+ bases for Juan Soto. That is not the MLB play of the day. We are due for a big time bounce back in our MLB play of the day. It's a run line. It's a little ugly, but I'm excited about it, and we'll get to that in a bit. Let's get the radio audience in here. SiriusXM channel 159. Kevin Walsh with you on Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid on a national championship Monday. And who are we talking about on national championship Monday? John Calipari. And it is not because the Kentucky Wildcats are playing in this game. It is because the Kentucky Wildcats coach for nearly 15 years is staying in the SEC and going to Arkansas. A stunning move. No other way to describe it. The conversation around Cal throughout this Kentucky season, would the Wildcats move on from him? A round one elimination to Oakland was unacceptable, but ultimately a $30-plus million buyout saved his job. That's the reality of it. But it appears that Cal was aware the only reason he was going to stay in Lexington is because they didn't want to pay that type of money. Clearly made him a bit cautious about his job security moving forward and made him a bit cautious about what type of support he was going to have at Kentucky, knowing that the clock was going to be ticking on his tenure there with the Wildcats. So he ultimately makes the move to Arkansas. Musselman takes the job in South California with USC, and this job opened up. A stunning result here. But for Kentucky, it does work out. It's not a slight to Cal. It's not. But they wanted to move on from him. You could tell it. You could read the tea leaves. But that buyout was going to prevent them from making that type of move because you'd have to buy out Cal, maybe then buy out your next coach, pay your next coach. It's a lot of money all in one. So now we have this big question mark of who could the head coach be for Kentucky next year, with the Wildcats still some respect in the 2025 national championship market. If we take a look right here, they are at 20-1, only six teams with better prices. By the way, side note, Cooper Flagg will be the favorite for National Player of the Year. Trying to figure out who's going to replace Zach Edey, who's won that back-to-back years, it will be the freshman forward for the Duke Blue Devils in that market. You can fade it. I'm not saying he's going to win it. I'm just letting you know when that market opens up, it's going to be Cooper Flagg. So here's Kentucky at 20. Right now, tied for the 13th best odds is Arkansas. And that's a good reminder. John Calipari is not going to obscurity. He's going to a program in Arkansas that Eric Musselman completely had rolling. While it was a down season this year for the Razorbacks, the prior three seasons saw 20-plus wins, two trips to the Elite Eight, and another trip to the Sweet 16. Cal is not going to a place that is going to say, oh, just get us to the tournament and it'll be fine. No, no, no. Calipari is going to need to win at Arkansas. He comes with a lot more cachet than Eric Musselman. So isn't the expectation for Cal to do more than Musselman did? That's a Final Four appearance. This is nothing easy that John Calipari has accepted here at Arkansas. But obviously, to lose Mus and replace him with Cal is exciting. Who replaces Calipari? Perhaps Dan Hurley tonight coaching for UConn. You're going to think it sounds crazy. Coach is live with us in 5 minutes. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about Nate Oates, a little bit about Scott Drew, a little bit about Mark Few, and I don't really know if we waste time with anybody else. Kentucky shouldn't really be going any lower than that. This is arguably the best gut job in college basketball. It's top three unquestioned. We'll see what they do. Let's push it forward here a little bit. Of course, we do have a national championship game tonight. We talked about it off the top. UConn and Purdue. Number growing stronger on the Huskies. Tournament UConn is an all-time, it's an all-time great. Two straight years now, they've covered every single game they've played in. Of course, booked as a favorite in all of them. It started with a game against my Iona Gales. And it possibly concludes here, the first back-to-back champs we've had in a very, very long time since Billy Donovan's Florida. By the way, I know Coach thinks Billy Donovan could make some sense for Kentucky. I disagree. We'll get into that. Can UConn go back-to-back? Even if they do, can they cover a big number? They are not playing some jabronis here. Last year, San Diego State, with respect, that was a surprise that they were in that game. Purdue, a number one seed, catching 6.5. That is because everybody has been making money for 2 years lining up UConn bets. We'll see if it happens again. A quick mention of yesterday's women's game. South Carolina complete a 38-0 season. Maybe the best job of Dawn Staley's career. I didn't think that team would cross the finish line because they, while they were great and better than everybody else, to be unbeaten, you are not compared to who you were playing against that season. For me, you're compared against all the all-time great teams. I didn't think that was an all-time great team. They now are a Pantheon college basketball team, and Dawn Staley is obviously an all-time great women's college basketball head coach. One of the greatest players in the history of women's college basketball, Caitlin Clark, sees her season end, her career end, the WNBA draft next week, though, where she is, of course, expected to go first overall to the Indiana Fever. We'll put eyes on the baseball board here quickly. Again, the MLB play of the day is coming up. I've got a run line. I have two run lines that we'll give to the people. One, we're taking a run and a half, and another, we're going to lay a run and a half here. Braves, Mets, again, that Yanks-Marlins game. Is that Soto already with 2-plus bags? Not yet. We'll get there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Interesting game here, Barrios and Luis Castillo's. Two teams struggling a little bit out of the box. Castillo specifically struggling early. We've seen this from him before. Keep eyes on that. Can the Astros wake up? We shall see. Quickly, it is Masters Week, by the way. It's a busy time here on the grid. Scottie Scheffler and then everybody else. That's the conversation. We'll have it all week long. Coach is live next, right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's Game Time Decisions. We are live on a Championship Monday. Kevin Walsh, Coach James Young. JY is going to be here now in 20 minutes and throughout the national championship game. He and Ben Stevens will handle your pregame cut. Well, this is your pregame. I mean, it's all. Oh, I'm so excited, JY.
Oh, that's right.
I'm so excited.
It's great. I mean, it's so great. We met.
Yeah, it's great.
We didn't talk about this. Just to let you know.
It's great news. Let's quickly just set this stage for the title game because we're going to have so much time to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But I really want to get into the Cal conversation with you as well. You know, obviously, I have plenty of thoughts with anything that involves Kentucky. 6.5-point spread. At some places, this is getting up to 7. I don't know, JY, if you're on a side tonight, but at some point, do you look at this is just too many points here? Or if UConn's going to win, they're going to dominate?
I really look at this game, and when you look at it really quickly, folks, and we'll get into it in nauseam, you know, beforehand with the pregame show. Well, this is the pregame show, but you know what I mean. when you look at Purdue, it's always been the dominance of Zach Edey, right? Zach Edey versus whoever. He's going against King Klong, whatever they call him now. Donovan Klingon, 7'2", one of the best shot blockers in the nation. And it's someone unlike a Ryan Kalkbrenner who's a little bit thicker and meatier, so he won't get buried in the hole. The reason why I like UConn is, even minus points, is I've come around to think that I think Dan Hurley's going to play one-on-one. And if the referees let the bigs play, which I think they're going to, I think Donovan Klingon can slow down Zach Edey, meaning we're not going to get a 35-15 out of Edey tonight. Now, if he does, God bless him, that'd be fantastic. But to me, I think that creates problems on the perimeter because the guards need Edey to get double teams to get off shots. I think they play straight up. UConn's just better at the guard spot, and I think they pull away in the second half and cover a 6.5-point spread.
So, again, we have plenty of time to get into this national championship game. I will say this. I may end up with more confidence in Zach Edey than anybody here tonight. The big advantage for Zach Edey prop bettors is the amount of minutes you can expect from him in this game. He just has to avoid foul trouble. And I'll tell you this right now. I am not worried about Donovan Klingon post touches fouling out Zach Edey. I'm not, JY. Klingon is a very talented player, legitimate lottery talent. Klingon does not have some elite bag on the bottom of the block there. That just needs to be straight-up defense from Zach Edey. We'll get into all of that. We're going to circle right back to this. We may not even have enough time to do all the Cal stuff. Don't worry. We're live with you all night long. I had a conversation today with Donnie Wrightside on Moneyline. Mm-hmm. I want to start with this angle of it because everyone's talking Kentucky, understandably. And he said, man, Cal's walking into a perfect situation in Arkansas. He's going to be a god. He's going to get him to the tournament, and they're going to be like, wow, this is amazing. Respectfully, I think Donnie is unaware of what's been going on at Arkansas for the last half decade. Musselman has continuously put up winning seasons in his 3 years. I know it was a down year this year. Three prior seasons. Elite Eight, Sweet 16. Calipari has to make it to a Sweet 16.
Absolutely.
And then some
absolutely.
With the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Oh, absolutely. And now, listen, he may get it past year one because sure. of the, you know, what he's going to get in. But to me, this is a basketball hotbed. I don't want people to sit here and think that Arkansas is hot trash. I mean, forget, you know, what Musselman's done. I mean, this is Woe Pig Suey. This is Mike Anderson. This is Nolan Richardson. This is tradition for a long time at the University of Arkansas. So, yeah, I mean, is this a landing spot for Cal? It's a new start. And the reason why I say it's a new start, Kevin, is I look at it as this. The fan base and the boosters were getting restless in Lexington. I said it before the season. I said if Cal doesn't make it to the Sweet 16, it's going to start to get ugly. I think Cal feels like he lost support, and he looked at, if I'm going to get out of here, where am I going to go? Think about this. He could have stayed and got $33 million.
Yeah.
And he left. That means he knew something may have been coming down the pipe. One more bad year, and it could have been it. So if you can go get a job at Arkansas, which is going to give you supposedly $5 million in NIL money, which is a ton,
yep,
then it's a move. It's good for him. It's good for Arkansas because it's a big name. They were getting spurned by some people, right?
Yeah.
So they had to go get a big name, and they went and got the biggest. For Kentucky, they don't have to pay the $33 million buyout, which I think is huge.
Huge.
That opens up more money,
yes,
for them to go get who they want. What it comes down to is who do they get? And then on the Cal side, Cal needs to change. To just go get all the McDonald's All-Americans one-and-done guys, Kevin, you've seen it does not work. He's still new place, same story. Cal's got to get Sweet 16s or better every year, or in Fayetteville, it'll get just like Lexington.
So, and that's why we're, Coach and I are going to talk about who we think Kentucky should go after, will go after, and ultimately who gets that job at 6:40. All right, we're going to make you wait a little bit on that, because Arkansas, and I get it, it's almost the forgotten end of it, right? That is, though, to give you people an idea, the Kentucky job is one of the three biggest jobs in all of college basketball. Kentucky, Duke, UNC, you can put them in any order that you want. So that's why we're all talking about this. But his responsibilities at Arkansas, I mean, they're not going to finish sixth in the SEC, and they're going to be like, this is awesome. That team is expecting a lot more. My question for you is with the recruits, right? He has a few five-stars, ultimately six commits right now at Kentucky. How much turnover do you think happens with these kids? Because a lot of them, you know, if I'm not mistaken, JY, they could all decommit, flip to Arkansas, decommit, go somewhere else. Obviously, Kentucky's going to want to hire their coach by the end of the week, probably by Wednesday, Thursday, mm-hmm, being realistic. What do you expect for these recruits that Cal has committed to Kentucky? Can he flip a few of them?
Well, I think that's going to be the kind of the plan. And we'll see who he brings on staff, whether Bruiser Flint comes with him, Orlando Antigua comes with him. Let's see who comes with him. I already know, obviously, that Bradshaw has already gone into the portal,
yes,
which is interesting, but there's a little bit of a scuttlebutt talking about maybe, out of all places, Rutgers could be in play because of the fact he's a Jersey kid.
Sure.
He's close to Dylan Harper, so on and so forth. So you're going to see a lot of movement now. You already saw one top player from Arkansas already decommit. So you're going to see some moving parts, and it's going to move really, really fast.
Well, let's just also hit on this. You know, Duthiero, I know he's not lighting the world on fire. I like the kid. I think he's talented. This is a kid that hit the portal when the year ended. Cal was losing kids, JY, regardless. This is not a situation, I know, and I get it. Oh, Bradshaw left, probably going to go to Arkansas. No. This season for Kentucky, it ended up with an ugly feel around it. Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard will leave and go to the lottery, and they're both very excited about what they did. Every other one of these kids leaves feeling underwhelmed. You know, Antonio Reeves, I don't think, has any more time left to be playing, but those big recruits, you know, Justin Edwards left for the draft because he feels this is his only opportunity to probably get drafted, which I think is a really interesting situation. Bradshaw, Thiero, you know, these are kind of kids that are getting out of there. But again, it's why Kentucky can't wait too long to ultimately make that move. I'll put it to you like this, and again, because I don't want to blow through what we think about who Kentucky brings in. 20-1 right now on Kentucky to win a title. I believe it's 40-1 at this moment on Arkansas to win a title. If you right now were so far out, if you had to put $2, Coach, on one of those two, which would you rather put the money on for next year?
I honestly would put it on Kentucky more because I think there's going to be a landing spot. Really quick, I'm hearing, you know, I'm kind of reaching out to people I think I got in Kentucky. The only name I heard so far is the assistant coach, Tyler Ulis, who's young and aggressive,
yeah,
assistant. There's rumors that he is going with Cal. That's something I've heard in the last hour. I'll keep digging to find out. But it's big news in college basketball. I'm sure we'll get into it later on. We got plenty of time.
Yes.
But it's major news in college basketball, And we haven't even gotten to the national championship game with this tonight.
Yeah, and again, we're going to get to that. Again, we're going to talk to Joe Madden here, get your baseball picks, get your hockey picks, two games tonight on the NHL. JY's going to be right back here in 20 minutes. I'm just going to add this, and this is more maybe a personal thing, but JY will get this as well. One thing, though, that is about to be very weird is the 15 players that Cal put into the NBA. And just every year, Kentucky always tweeting out about those guys, and every year Cal reacting with those guys and knowing that Cal is now at Arkansas. It's just odd. Nobody's put more NBA talent. Nobody's put more NBA talent in the NBA than Cal in the last 15 years. And now those talent are still there. SGA, AD, Devin Booker.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Top of the league guys, and now Cal's still coaching in the SEC, not at Kentucky. Coach, we'll talk in 20. Joe Madden up next. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Musical Chairs, a.k.a. Game Time Decisions. We're making it happen, baby. We're live. We are live with you on a championship Monday. The excitement levels, it's palpable. It's in the air. But it's not all that's going on. We have big-time boards in Major League Baseball, and we've got two games to get to on the NHL. And to help us with that, nobody better, Joe Madden. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks for having me here today, and go Huskies. I'd love to see the Huskies repeat here tonight.
All right, Joe, rooting on a little back-to-back champ situation. Can't get mad at that. Joe, I figure we'll hit the NHL board firstly, since it's just two games, and then we'll go through the baseball for the people here. The NHL, it still has two really good games, though, which is nice, including Toronto and Pittsburgh. The Maple Leafs, this line increasing as we're talking here at minus 145 now, minus 146. It was earlier in the day higher. It's dropped. It's, again, it's been bouncing. That total stayed steady, though, at 6.5. What do you see with Toronto and Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I see all the value sitting here on the Pittsburgh Penguins. We know the Toronto Maple Leafs have clinched their playoff spot. They're sitting third in the Atlantic with 97 points. And while I do think there's some plays we can make on Toronto tonight, I do think Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins are dangerous in this matchup. Crosby's looking to put this team on his back, and that's what we've seen out of him in these last couple of games. They've won their last four. They've moved into a wild card position, and they don't want to let that go. So I do think here with them sitting fourth in the Metro with 83 points, with so many teams fighting to take that wild card spot for them, we can see the Penguins come out nice and strong in this. So I'm going to take a chance on them here. On the money line, it's going to be hard for them to get the win over the Toronto Maple Leafs because we know how solid they are at home. But the lines are always inflated for Toronto as well. And I just don't love the value you're having to lay that juice on Toronto on that money line. I'm going to look at Sidney Crosby here. Sidney Crosby for the 2+ points screams value. Like I said, he puts the weight of this team on his shoulder to make them into the playoffs. So 2+ points is coming in at plus 196. I love the value on that. If you think in this game, those points come from goals, I think it's worth a little bit of a sprinkle. 2+ goals out of Sidney Crosby tonight is plus 1,000. It's a lot to ask for with Samsonov in net for the Maple Leafs here, but I do think it's worth a little sprinkle, Kevin. But then you got to look at Auston Matthews. Auston Matthews has 64 goals on the season. His anytime goal tonight coming in at minus 115. If he gets that goal, he will tie Ovechkin's record from 2007-2008 season for the most goals by an active player. So I do think we see him hit the goal tonight at minus 115. It's not as much value as I'd like. But if you think he hits the record and goes above and beyond it, the 2+ goals tonight for Austin Matthews is coming in at plus 500. And I do think this is a high scoring battle out there. I know we have fantastic goaltending. I know this game means so much, but I think the Pittsburgh Penguins want to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a 4-3 style game. So Sidney Crosby for the 2+ points, the 2+ goals, Austin Matthews for the 2+ goals and the anytime goal. And then give me the Pittsburgh Penguins here on the money line.
All right, there we go. A lot of action for Toronto and Pittsburgh. Joe, what about Vancouver and Vegas? Typical Canucks line of the total at 5.5 at home at minus 120 right now.
Vancouver is in a situation right now where they're sitting first in the Pacific, but we're looking at this team as in a must-win situation. They've only won 2 of their last 6 games, Kevin, and this is not where this team wanted to be in the last couple of weeks going into the playoffs. They have the Edmonton Oilers chasing them for that number 1 seed in the Pacific. They can't let this game go against Vegas. Now, Vegas has won 3 of the last 4 meetings, including in April when they were able to get a big 6-3 win over the Vancouver Canucks. And Vancouver will start Silas tonight. It is not Casey DeSmith. So I don't love the goaltending change. But when you look at Silas, he has played strong for them, recording wins in both of his starts. He has a 1.50 goals against average and a 930 save percentage. So we should see a strong effort out of him. He'll need that support by his defense out there. The Vegas Golden Knights come into this starting Logan Thompson. We know how phenomenally strong he is, but I think this game has a chance of going to overtime. And because I think it has a chance of going to overtime, I can't take this one to the under. Even though I do think this is playoff style hockey, I would expect that first period to be lower scoring. And then I think things open up as soon as one of these teams scores. I'm going to look at Vancouver here. I know they're the favorite at home and Vegas has dominated 3 of the last 4, but I do think we see Vancouver find a way to get the win. I'm going to lay the juice, but I'm going to look at some player props here. JT Miller of the Vancouver Canucks has been super vocal in the press, and I love looking at these players that have been vocal in these losses. His power play point tonight coming in at plus 170. He's on a 7-game point streak right now, Kevin. So I do love that power play point. And then Thomas Hertl getting his debut here for the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. I think you can take him for the 1+ points. Remember, he was with the San Jose Sharks. He was off with injury. The 1+ points tonight comes in at minus 118. I think it's safer than taking that anytime goal, but I'd love to see him come out and get a goal for Vegas. They have high hopes for him joining their team.
Well, listen, a couple of interesting spots then tonight on that NHL board, but also plenty of baseball. Right now we have the Yankees and the Marlins live, as well as the Guardians up 2-0 on the Chicago White Sox. Coming up at 6:40, you'll see Ashcraft get the ball for the Reds against the Milwaukee Brewers, and then the Pirates and the Tigers go to battle with a total of 8 between Keller and Olson. Joe, your card will start in around that 7 o'clock window with Barrios and Castillo. Right now, Toronto, a home favorite in this game, total 7.5. What are you looking for?
Oh, I want to back the Toronto Blue Jays here, and I'm going to. This is their home opener, and I know this team has had their struggles offensively, and it feels kind of crazy looking at them here versus Castillo, but I think Castillo with his struggles to start the season, we're going to see Toronto's bats finally look like the bats that we had hoped we had seen out there on the road. Castillo just hasn't had a strong start. To start here for the Mariners, he's got a 6.75 ERA and a 1.78 whip. And when we look at Barrios coming out here for the Toronto Blue Jays, his 2 starts have been so strong. 12 innings pitched with a 2.25 ERA. I think he comes out and plays really solid. We've seen him strong, especially at home over the seasons. Last season, 15 games at home with an overall ERA of 3.30. So I'm counting on him to be strong, and I'm counting on the bats of the Toronto Blue Jays to be hot tonight, Kevin. I'm taking the Blue Jays straight up on the money line, but I also have a same game parlay in which I'm looking at Toronto to go over their team total of 3.5. I'm also looking at George Springer to record a run, Vladdy to record a run, and Bo Bichette to record a run, and Barrios to come out here and go over his strikeout number, which is 6.5. So it's asking a lot, but if this parlay pays off, it's plus 1170 out there, Kevin.
All right. What about now this Tampa Bay team, Joe? They enjoyed some success this weekend in Colorado. They got the offense going, won the series. What do you think they have followed up with here, a road favorite against the Los Angeles Angels?
I think we're going to see in this one Zach Eflin come out nice and strong. Now, he's making his third start here. He does have a 5.25 ERA. We could see the Angels hit off of him a little in this one, but the Angels are starting to look like the Angels of last season, where those strikeouts are going to come for this team. So I'm expecting Eflin to have a strong start here. Anderson, on the other hand, I do think we'll see the Tampa Bay Rays be able to hit off of him. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays team total over 4.5. That's coming in at minus 115. I'm expecting them to be able to hit Anderson in this one. When we look at the two career starts Anderson's had versus the Rays, he's got a 7.84 ERA. So he's shown his struggles versus the Rays. And I do think the Rays bats have been hot in some of these games, and they should be able to capitalize on Anderson in this one. So give me over their 4.5 runs, Kevin.
All right, Joe. And then also you're looking to get some action here in the game tonight for the San Francisco Giants with Blake Snell taking the ball at home.
You got to love Blake Snell making his debut here for the Giants. Now, he should be on a limited pitch count. I do believe only 70 pitches will see him out there for today. But I do think you can look at the Giants here in the first five innings. In the first five innings on that run line, you still have to lay 1.5. It's at plus 120. But I can't get behind them for the full game. They're 0-3 on the run line this season so far. So when they're recording these wins, they're still not blowing out teams. I do think they'll hit nicely off of Trevor Williams to get the start here. Trevor Williams has had one start with a 3.38 ERA, and he looked pretty solid versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. But I do think here we'll see the Giants come out nice and strong. You got to remember, Williams had an ERA over 5 last season, so I can't trust him. And I do think the Giants' first five run line laying the 1.5 at plus 120 has so much value here, Kevin.
All right, fantastic stuff as always. That is Joe Maddon. Joe, appreciate it. Best of luck tonight.
Best of luck, Kevin. Thank you.
All right, again, awesome stuff as always there from Joe. I mentioned the Juan Soto bet for 2+ bases. He did walk in his opening at bat, which does not help us any. But a couple of run lines coming up here. I would trust the Atlanta Braves. Feels ugly to do, but I'm going to lay the 1.5 with Charlie Morton getting the ball against Julio Teheran. And then the MLB play of the day comes to us courtesy of the Colorado Rockies against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Rockies, a awful 2-8 baseball team at home, can cover the run line. Kyle Freeland is one of those inverse Rockies pitchers who's somehow better at cores. And Zach Gallen has legitimate road struggles here. I know he's off to a hot start. But we move this situation to Coors, expect him to get touched up in this baseball game, and the Rockies to be able to score enough to hang within that run line, maybe strike the upset here at Coors. They covered the run line in 2 of the 3 games against Tampa Bay. Coming up next, Coach James Young. What's next for Kentucky? What's going on with this national championship game? We'll break it all down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on SportsGrid, it's Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with Coach James Young. Coach, let's talk a little bit more about tonight's national championship game. And as always, the conversation is, how do you stop Zach Edey? You're not going to. And I'm on Zach Edey tonight over the 22.5 points. I think this is a great number. Zach Edey, JY, would you say it's safe to say he'll play 35 minutes tonight in this game? Play the full 40 in a matchup against NC State.
Yeah, I mean, he should play the full at least 35, 36 minutes. He'll probably use the media timeouts as a way to kind of give him more of a break without, obviously him missing a lot of court time.
Well, if he does play 35 minutes, that would be the 17th time. So far on the season in 16 games with 35 or more minutes, 13-3 over the 22.5. In fact, it's 25 or more in those games. In those 16 games, he scored 30 or more in 8 of the 16 games. He's over 3-1 to score 30 tonight. I think there's legitimate value on that number. This is a spot to me. I've talked about it, JY. We'll see how it plays out, but at this moment, to me, he's runaway player of the tournament. It's all going to likely come down to this game regardless, but I'm trusting Zach Edey volume at minimum to go over his 22.5 points. Only 2 free throws last game. That won't be repeated.
Well, it's going to be – a lot of it's going to come down to, honestly, in my opinion, the referees. Like, what are we going to get out of the referees? Are they going to let these two guys go at it and play? Because it's a little bit different. If you looked at a guy like a DJ Burns or some of these other guys, they have to literally move him off of his spot because of the fact that he's so much taller. Klingon has the size. But listen, I think it correlates, right? If you think that Zach Edey is going to go over his points prop, then you would probably be leaning at taking the points. I think they work hand in hand, because if Zach Edey doesn't have 25 points, let's say he has 16, 17 points, there's no chance in hell that they're covering a number. So there's ways that if you believe that Edie's going to get the points, then you're more likely to believe that Purdue's going to cover the spread if you want to put that together. If you're on the flip side and you think he may not get there, then you're probably going to look at UConn because if you're Dan Hurley, the key is you want to cut the head of the snake, and that's Zach Edey.
It certainly is. Now, trying to figure out who's going to step up for this Huskies roster tonight, I really do like Tristan Newton. Coach, he's been struggling a bit here, but he's too good of a player for me for those struggles to continue. How about this? In his last 3 games, he's 4 of 11 from 2. First of all, a lot of 3-point shots, which is good if you want to get over a points prop there, which is in line. That number's 15.5. But this is a guy now that's shooting under 40% in his 2-point shots, when throughout the year, he's been over 50% on his twos. I also think, though, rebound regression positively is coming for him. Only 3 rebounds in each of his last 2 games. He broke that up in the middle with a 7-rebound game. I'm playing Tristan Newton tonight, Coach, over 21.5 points plus rebounds.
Well, I think Tristan Newton's going to have a big game. They're going to run that wing ball screen action. And I think where you think it's close in the bigs or closer in the bigs, I think there's a decided advantage in the guard play with the guards of UConn. So I can see that. For me, I'm looking at Castle. And I'm looking at him to make a 3 at, you know, my about minus 145, minus 140. Okay. I think this he made 2 made 3s last game. I think if I am Purdue, right, he could excel by getting to the rim. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, you're going to have to make a couple before I, you know, come back and guard him. So I do think Castle to make 1-3 at least. And I'm going to go Cam Spencer. I just got this feeling that he's going to get loose a little bit with the guys trying to get to the hole, kick out to Cam Spencer. He knocks down 3 or more 3s. I think that's still at plus money, so I would take a look at that. And for me, I'm gonna give the points. I'm gonna give the points with UConn. I look at this team and I think Edie's going to have more difficult time than people would expect. And I think the guard play is going to be key. And I think UConn will do something. I don't think it's typical. If Edie's going to play 35, 36, 40 minutes, I actually think UConn's going to try and run and try and wear him out. And that means a guy like Johnson coming off the bench, who is really fast in transition, if they hang points props for him, 4.5, 3.5, I may jump on him. He may get a couple of putback dunks, run a transition, and score that way as well.
And we know that the bigger the game, the more options we get. Now, JY, give me a little bit here. Let's hope all these bets are as good as the quick pick. That's a Juan Soto double for the people.
Ooh.
That's what you like to see. Let's stick, though, here with UConn. And will Dan Hurley leave for Kentucky? We know Kentucky is going to give him a call. We know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
The buyout, I looked this up, is about $10 million. No sweat for the Wildcats as well. Mm-hmm. Basically, Dan Hurley can leave and get this job if he wants it. Now, there are going to be some say, now, why would you do that? With respect to UConn, there is a very big gap between that job and the Kentucky job. And that's not a slight to UConn. Kentucky is arguably the biggest job in all of college basketball. That is the difference that we are talking about here. And jobs like this do not come open very often. You know, the Duke job, basically, in my eyes, JY, never even opened up, right? Mm-hmm. We know Kay was passing that baton to Shire. Hubert Davis obviously took the UNC job. And now we are here with the Kentucky job. I think Duke, UNC, Kentucky are your 3 biggest jobs. To be able to get one of those is massive. I think you look right now at the UConn roster for next season. You know, Hurley was right. He knew that he had Special coming back. But now, Special's leaving. Newton and Spencer, no more eligibility left. Klingon and Castle will be lottery picks. The both of them. And we know Kentucky's going to have plenty of talent for him to work with. And he'd be able to bring anybody he wanted. He'd be able to dominate the portal, dominate high-level recruits. And maybe the biggest thing, and I want you to speak to this before you tell me what you ultimately think Hurley decides. But isn't there value, JY, in coaching in the SEC or the Big Ten when we look at the state of college sports and all of the realignment?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to speak about that. I think me looking at Dan as a Jersey guy and knowing the family a little bit and coaching against Mr. Hurley is what I always have called him. I don't know if he's just going to be the kind of guy that's going to go to the SEC. They're a loyal family, right? Mm-hmm. If you could think about, go back, folks, and look at how many times Bob Hurley Sr. was offered a college job mm-hmm. and never left St. Anthony.
Yeah.
You know, they're a Northeast family. They're hard hat, you know, tough family, Jersey City, born and raised. I don't know if he's going to be the type of guy that's going to go run to that job. Now, what I think it does, no matter what, it puts immense pressure on UConn to come up with a ton of money. Because it doesn't matter if he doesn't go now, like whenever every big job's coming and they got big money, they're going to go after Dan Hurley. So if I'm UConn, you got to give him the bag. He's earned it. You can talk about if he wins the national championship today, you're going to start talking about is he worthy of Hall of Fame consideration already with two national championships? Back-to-back especially. So it's a really intriguing case. I ultimately think loyalty, family, Jersey pride, Northeast. I don't think he goes. But, Kevin, it's like we're tempted to be honest. Everybody's got a price. And there's got to be a number that Kentucky may throw out there that may have Dan Hurley say, you know, this is like generational wealth here. I may not be able to turn it down.
Well, I know this isn't how it's going to play out, but the Cal buyout was over $30 million. Mm-hmm. The buyout for Dan Hurley, I saw the report, said it was $10 million. Now, they're not going to pay him $20 a year. But I'm just saying they considered doing $30 just to get rid of Cal. And that's what's made this such an interesting situation, is if you're Kentucky and you had to consider that, which they did, you are not out of the price range of anyone. The guy that I had initially mentioned when we thought that Cal might be fired was Nate Oates. The idea around Nate Oates being a negative was the buyout's too big. Well, now it's not because you're not firing Cal. Again, $18 million all of a sudden seems cheap when you thought the buyout you were going to be paying was $32-$33. Also, Kentucky fans this year really enjoyed the style of play that they had. Up-tempo, great offense, lot of threes. Well, the king of that is Nate Oates.
Yeah, and listen, they play with as much pace as anybody, and they play an exciting brand of basketball. And I think it would be an exciting brand of basketball that would attract high-level, particularly guards, right? Because
yes,
they want to play
yes.
that up-tempo style. So, yeah.
If you're Boogie Flan, you're not leaving if Nate Oates is coming through.
No. And I think, Nate Oates makes a lot of sense. To me, and I heard you in your first segment when you started the show, I think this is lined up for a guy like Billy Donovan. And the reason why I think Billy Donovan does make sense here is he's won in the SEC. He's got back-to-back NCAA titles. Mm-hmm. He has coached some of the biggest stars in the NBA that are guards. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is going to have to reset.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the coach that's going to reset? Or do you go back to college when I felt like he was one of the three or four best coaches in the sport? Do you go back to college to Kentucky where I do believe he was an assistant to Patino for a little bit of time? I think he makes sense. I like Bruce Pearl. I think Bruce Pearl is someone. To me, here's the thing, folks. You got to understand. You have to have a larger-than-life personality, mm-hmm. right? You can't just be a coach and a recruiter. You got to deal with the fan base. You got to deal with the donors. You got to deal with the media. You got to deal with your TV
it's
and your radio
team. It's all they have in Kentucky.
Right. So you need You need a larger-than-life figure that can step in and deal with all that. That's why Nate Oates, I think, makes sense. That's why I think Bruce Pearl makes sense. That's why I think Billy Diamond makes sense. Like people mention, like, Dan Hurley makes sense. People mention, like, Kelvin Sampson. That's not a job for Kelvin Sampson. Like, that's not his personality to be there. So no matter who it is, it better be a home run, and you better come with that bag.
I will say this on Billy Donovan, and maybe I'm off base. I would say this, though, and I might be crazy. I wouldn't call Jay Wright or Billy Donovan. College sports has changed so much, so quickly, that I don't know what Billy Donovan looks like. And I mean, Jay Wright, it was 2014, 2015 was last year, Florida. 10 years ago. I feel like that's a risk. Am I crazy to say that's a risk?
I think a lot of it comes down to your system. By the way, I'm going to say this right now, and I'm not having, like, I have no knowledge, whatever. I would be floored if Jay Wright took the job. I will be. That would be the craziest thing, because Jay Wright got out because he didn't want to deal with the portal. He didn't want to deal with the NIL.
Yeah.
And that being said, let me give him his flowers. You want to talk about someone that's gone from the coaching sideline and has really done a great job stepping into, like, an analyst role? Jay Wright is as good as it's got really quickly. But I don't think Jay's also a Northeast guy, the Philly guy. I don't see him going down there. But Nate Oates, you know, some of these other guys, it does make a lot of sense.
Now, I'm going to keep Jay Wright here because there's a name we haven't gotten to yet that we will. It's not this name I'm going to bring up, which is Scott Drew. I read the report yesterday from The Athletic that the AD, Barnhart, I believe his name is, of Kentucky, really would love for it to be Scott Drew. This might be a situation for Kentucky where they're just late to the party. Scott Drew of Baylor was sought after by Louisville, and he turned that into a new contract with Baylor. I just do not know a contract that was signed within the last month if you could all of a sudden leave and become the head coach at Kentucky. But Scott Drew's ability to get McDonald's All-American, hit the portal, great offense, it checks the box. One more name to get to next year on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back right here, Game Time Decisions. At the top of the hour, we'll reset the card. We'll check the live board. We'll check any odds movement. There's one name we have not mentioned yet, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Mark Few.
Ooh.
Mark Few leaving Gonzaga. It's one of those things, of course there's bigger jobs than Gonzaga. I think the difference for me is Gonzaga's leaving the WCC, so you're going to be in a big conference anyway. And I feel like he found out, maybe the past 2 years, he missed the peak of Gonzaga. And by the way, everything he's done there should be celebrated. He is an all-time great coach in college basketball history. This is a Kentucky job. Should Mark Few not be listening if Kentucky comes calling? And would you come calling if you're Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay.
Why wouldn't I? I mean, this guy's done that much in Spokane, and he's developed pros. And I think, you know, he's very well respected and one of the best tacticians in this sport. I really think that would someone – that I would really look at, and it's gonna be it's crazy because no matter who they call, like you want to listen. Like, for instance, it's crazy. Like the Tennessee women's job, which is kind of like the equivalent of the Kentucky men's job, and they had, you know, Adia Barnes from Arizona interview, but like Jeff Walsh from Louisville, big name, said no. Carol Lawson went to Tennessee, said no. But this is a job. This is, with all respect, almost UNC and Duke, I think this is the mothership. This is the job of college basketball because of the recognition, the history, the money behind it. If someone calls you, you gotta listen. By the way, Kentucky, I'm free. I'll take a certain amount of money. K-Dub will roll my staff. Big Ten Ben, he's in. He's coming in. He's here. He'll jump on the staff. Joe Friezo, director of basketball operations. Let's go. We got the staff. Come get us.
I hate to say how much that fires me up because it's obviously not happening. That'd be a great time.
Oh, we win.
That'd be a great
we
time.
We win.
I'll do this quickly. The amount that I want to just go coach high school basketball, put advanced analytics in, and dominate some poor New York school where nobody else understands the power of the three-point shot, but that's a whole other thing. Jay, we'll talk in a bit. Back in less than a minute.